You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Nordin fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 460. Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
And of course, we're going to talk about the spring game. I did not get a sunburn like I have in so many years in the past, but it was a nice day.
It was a little bit cold, but yeah, it was nice.
Chilly, but not at all unbearable. And I did get to... I came in the complete opposite corner from where we were going to end up sitting, so I got a chance to walk all the way around. And again, I'm just impressed with just how clean and beautiful, how large and open the bathrooms are. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And driving up to it, it's amazing how much bigger it is.
It's hard to believe that we thought it used to look big before they had the additions.
It's incredible. Anyway, we're definitely going to talk about the spring game. A couple of topics we want to discuss is, does Notre Dame miss Jay Hayes after watching the front? And of course, this is just one practice that we got to see, but our thoughts on that. And then what did we learn about the quarterbacks? And then Miles Boykin, he definitely had a big game. Him and Chase Claypool had big games. So is Miles Boykin for real? So going to touch on those three topics relating to the spring game. But there was some other big news over the weekend, too. Notre Dame picked up a couple of commitments. Randall, do you want to fill us in on that?
Yeah, well, it seemed like Notre Dame had been, everything kind of slowed down as far as recruiting. People were getting a little worried, you know, what's happening. You know, all of a sudden it seemed like guys were trending towards Notre Dame, and now they're not, and it just seemed like everything was dead. But then last Monday, they had a quarterback commit, the 2020 class. And then this weekend, for three straight days, they had a commitment on each day. It started out on Friday. John, I got to turn my sound off there. John Olmstead, offensive lineman, committed to Notre Dame, 6'6", 290 pounds, and is a four-star recruit. And I think this kind of showed, we were wondering what, with Harry Hiestand gone, you know, what was going to happen with the offensive line recruiting, but it's going great. They picked up another offensive lineman, top-ranked guy out of New Jersey. And so with Quinn as the offensive line coach, he's doing a good job and continues to impress. And so far we haven't seen much of a drop, but we haven't seen any drop off in the recruiting, really. He kept the guys in the class that were committed, and when Hiestand left and they ended up signing, didn't lose anybody, and now he adds another offensive lineman, and he's working on some other guys. So things are looking good there. And then on Saturday, right after the Blue Gold game, had another commitment from Litchfield, a Javon, and some people, it was, but we've talked about him on the podcast before because he looks like he's 30. And when I posted a picture of him on our Instagram and said he committed to Notre Dame, and one guy asked if he's coming to Notre Dame as a professor, and somebody asked if he's coming as a defensive analyst. He looks old. But I haven't checked in to see if he actually, you know, was held back a year, but.
But he wasn't held back 20 years. I mean, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, we're sure on that. But he definitely looks older than most high school players, and he's still got another year of high school left. But Javon is a safety, 6 foot, 185, out of Virginia, and this was a big pickup for Notre Dame. Notre Dame, they continue to do good on the defense side of the ball. And then on Sunday, last night, Notre Dame got another commitment from Howard Cross, the third. And he is a defensive end, strong side defensive end, 6'2", 240 is where he's listed right now. Four-star guy. And there's talk that, you know, depending how he bulks up or continues to grow, you know, maybe he'll move inside at some point. But just another big-time recruit on the Notre Dame defensive line. Crystal Ball even had him trending to had 17% trending to Alabama, but Alabama was up there as far as where he would possibly go. So that's always a good sign. It's good to see that. But Notre Dame is doing great. They're up to, is it six recruits now for 2019? And most of them on the defensive side. Besides Olmstead, that was the first offensive player. The others are all defensive players. And so, and they're all highly ranked four stars. So Notre Dame is being a little pickier with who they're recruiting. Even at running back, it sounds like they might have canceled the one trip for the running back because they thought he might commit, and they're interested in other players. And so they're definitely being pickier with who they're taking in this class. And it's so far it's working out great for them. So you got some other commitments coming up, your announcements in the next weeks. But I think this should quiet the people that were a little worried about the Notre Dame recruiting.
And Notre Dame did finalize, or became known that Notre Dame had agreed to a game series with Alabama. Pretty exciting. It's a little ways away. First game is in 28 and the second one in 29. Both will be the opening games of the season. The first one will be at Notre Dame, the 28 game, and the 29 game will be at Alabama. And
are you excited about that?
Oh yeah, I'm excited.
Right now,
I might not be excited when it comes, because who knows what state these two programs will be at in 10 years. But yeah, I'm excited about this.
Well, yeah, that's exactly the thing. I think Nick Saban will be, 77, and Brian Kelly would be 66. Nick Saban's still there. Alabama will have an unreal run. My theory is that they're not going to be a very good program at that time, because I still think as soon as Nick Saban leaves, Alabama's going to get hit with sanctions. That's when it happens when a good coach leaves. That's just my theory.
Well, I think often they leave because of the upcoming sanctions.
They at some point it'll come back to bite them.
It is. You can read about the agreement a little bit. According to AL.com, it was a 5-page document that that made up the agreement between the two schools. And just there's some interesting things, like each visiting school will get 5,000 tickets, and it'll be a home game, so it'll be through NBC for when Notre Dame hosts, and then it'll be Alabama, whoever would normally be televising their games.
Notre Dame has never played at Alabama, so that'll be a first time.
Okay.
I did see one tweet that was pretty funny. I think it was Mike Varell from the South Bend Tribune had said that at that point in 10 years, you'll probably have Charlie Weiss Jr. coaching Notre Dame, and you'll have Lane Kiffin coaching Alabama. So you could come up with some pretty good ones as far as who will be coaching those teams. But I do not think it will be Brian Kelly and
I don't think it'll be either of the current head coaches.
No. So, but I'm glad they did schedule them. They're at least trying schedule tough opponents,
mm-hmm.
which can't be said of some other schools. And it is the first game of the year, so it'll be fun. Tony was with us at the game Saturday. He mentioned that he's going to buy season tickets for, 2028, the first year, because you could probably pay for them by selling your Alabama tickets. anyways.
Well, let's talk about the spring game. First off, do you think Notre Dame misses Jay Hayes, and if so, how much? Or what are your thoughts coming out of the game? Because I know initially you said, yes, they're definitely going to miss him.
Yeah.
But do you feel at all more comfortable with their situation now following the blue and gold game?
I do. I feel comfortable with it. It's hard to get away from the fact that with the experience. I mean, from seeing the guys, it looks like everything's great. They got a good rotation there. Khalid Kareem, starting, he did some nice things kind of at the beginning of the game, maybe not so much at the end, but he's got to get used to playing a lot more snaps than he did before. I think we talked about that the other week. Brian Kelly had mentioned it. But then Ade Ogundiji, I mean, he looks good. What did he have? Two sacks, and or is credited with, which?
Yeah, two sacks, two tackles for loss, and a total of six tackles.
You about can't, the whole sack thing in a game like this is.
Yeah, but you can still somewhat judge them the same. I mean,
at least at least he's rushing the passer.
They weren't all the same. There was definitely some that, you know, maybe probably should have been called and weren't, but it's kind of a judgment call. But at least, yeah, you know he's getting close.
Yeah, which it was different. Wimbush had seven sacks called against him, and Book had one, I believe.
And I think Wimbush probably should have been.
It was the first-team defense going against Wimbush, yeah. Too, so that makes sense. But with the Jay Hayes, yeah, I think they're fine. It'd be nice to have a guy that's with all Jay Hayes experience there to at least be a rotation guy and help these younger guys coach them up and get them ready for the game. So that part of it you can't replace. But as far as how they looked, I don't think it'll be a problem.
I agree with that. Yes. Very sad to see him go, but I feel a little bit better about the defensive line situation after Saturday.
And honestly, it might make it easier for Okorah to get on the field because what we've seen from him last year and even in spring game, the more he's on the field, the better chance of a sack. I mean, he's the pass rusher that Dalen Hayes is still working on. I mean,
it is surprising, yes, to see how explosive or how much of an impact Okorah had versus Dalen Hayes when you just...
Well, last year was Hayes. Dalen Hayes had a big spring game. I remember how excited we were coming after that game, you know, but then, which he's credited that to, you know, struggling to learn the defense and figure out where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, things like that. So it'll be easier for him this year. But with Jay Hayes gone, it'll give Okorah a better chance of getting out in the field, which is good.
But I still don't think he'll get on the field except on third downs. He's lean. Yeah. He was lean last year. And
well, he's supposed to bulk up.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Miles Boykin, do you believe it now? I, for one, I still don't. I mean, yes, he had huge plays. He had a total of 132 yards on three catches and a touchdown. And I love the effort is there. He's still not a fast athlete, and his length is what was able for him to get over the top. It wasn't the speed that got him over the top; it was his length.
But I think he's deceptively fast,
and it may be enough. Maybe he is fast enough.
Well, I mean, faster. I'm not saying like fat, but faster than you think. Kind of like Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd didn't look like a fast guy. It's how they run these big, loping. We went to high school with a guy
deer.
Like that.
Deer are graceful and.
I remember the one guy in high school when we'd run cross country. He wasn't the fat, like he wouldn't win in a short race, but Josh.
Oh, okay.
He would take these big steps, and he covered ground that it was incredible. It didn't look that fast, but he covered so much ground, and I think that's kind of what you get with Boykin. He doesn't look. Like, he's not going to look like Will Fuller, nobody will. But I'm saying, I think he's faster than what it looks like.
Okay.
Deceptively fast.
I still think he's getting a lot of praise and playing time because other receivers haven't stepped up and been consistent in the effort department.
Yeah. So what do you think? Will he be the number one receiver this next year?
No.
Number two?
I don't think he'll be number two, but I do think that he'll probably... I think I had said, did you write it down? That I don't think he's even going to be the third most productive receiver.
I have to go back.
But I think he probably will be just because he has proven to be very, well, he always has been kind of a favorite during practice, I think. But he appears to be.
He was good last spring as well.
But, well, yeah, and that kind of is what I had been saying leading up to today. But I think that. He'll get more playing time than what I was expecting. I think he'll be more productive than what I was expecting. Still not the number two. There's just no way.
See, I have more faith in him than you do. I mean, I think a lot of it, the coach has talked about how he's finally getting off the line of scrimmage. He got knocked around, didn't use his size and strength before, and he's finally doing it. That's why you never saw him, because he wasn't even getting anywhere near to where he was supposed to be because he was getting knocked around by the defenders. And I think he's going to actually do pretty good. I think he'll be the number two. He'll finish with the second most receiving yard because it's not – we saw the big catch in the bowl game, but he's still making some incredible catches. Like, it's not –
Well, and he had a couple in that game that were really incredible.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not, it wasn't just a one-hit wonder. He's making those catches in practice. We've seen highlights of that. And he was doing it in the game, too. He made some catches that
have been dropped, receivers that weren't other making receivers last were year. Dropping. Yes, I agree.
So that's why I think he's taking the next step and has a chance. Yeah, Brian Kelly said he's the number one guy, but I think that's to motivate Chase Claypool, which. Kind of watching the spring game, you can kind of see what the deal is there. Watching warm-ups, Claypool didn't even have defender and dropped a pass. D'Alexander was right there talking to him. And even on another play, he caught the ball, but Alexander was talking to him again. And he wasn't doing that with the other players. But then in the game, when he wants to, he dominates.
He did.
And so I think it's just
broke a tackle, stayed on his feet, and finished for the score. I mean,
yeah. So I think it's just he's got to be able – every play he has to go – I think his problem is if he knows the ball isn't coming to him or if it's just in practice, he's like, whatever. But if he knows the ball's coming to him, he can make the play.
Well, one encouraging thing, this is not what Brian Kelly was saying about Stefferson last year. I mean, it was clear last year that something was wrong, Stefferson wasn't going to be a contributor. And with Chase Claypool, they've talked about him being consistent, but they haven't talked about him.
Well, they said it's up to him to be the great player.
Yeah.
He has decided to do that. And you kind of saw it, in practice, whatever, but then he goes out and dominates and leads the team in yards. And that's how it was last year. It was either like feast or famine. So he kind of takes himself out of the game. But it's going to help if Boykin or Michael Young, which I think is going to be the third receiver, can take some pressure off of him. And, if he's the one guy that can make catches, then it's easy for the other team to defend him, slow him down, and get him down to where he's not trying as hard.
Well, what's strange to me is Miles Boykin seems like the the old man that you can rely on, but he's being used in big plays.
No.
And I mean, and that's credit goes to him for making the big plays when they're there to make. But I think he's better. I mean,
I think he's going to be more of like that Chris Brown type. Like if you need him, he's not going to lead the team in receptions every game, but he's still there and stepped up and makes big plays. So, yeah, I was impressed with what I saw from him because it's not just his one hit wonder. He's still making impressive catches. And kept his balance. Yeah, he shoved the defender. Probably would have got called in a game. I mean, there was a couple. Chase Claypool did the same thing. So some of those, they might not have gotten as many yards because that could have very well been.
Which the one on Chase was called pass interference against the defense then. At least if it's the play I'm thinking about.
But if you had those, they are some big receivers. When you see them out there, if both of them can step up and play, it's going to be hard to stop them.
Yeah, and they've got they're thick. They've got bodies on them. Let's move on then. The running backs. I'm definitely... I've got two thoughts on the running backs.
Okay.
Number one, I'm not nearly as concerned as I was leading into it.
Into the spring game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, I don't know who is going to be getting... I don't know who's going to carry the load. Because I was really impressed with
Tony Jones?
No.
Or Dexter Williams?
No.
Jameer Smith?
Jafar Armstrong.
Oh, Jafar Armstrong.
Yes, really impressed with Jafar Armstrong. And granted, I mean, I don't think he had the number of carries that Tony Jones or Dexter Williams did. But impressed just with the presence that he had. And I think it helped inspire Tony Jones then, too, because Tony Jones seemed to be running a little harder and giving more effort after Jafar had some success. But basically, go ahead. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Brian Kelly they asked Brian Kelly, who's going to be your number one guy? And Brian Kelly kind of joked, but I was like, he's helping them answer. Finally, they were like, you know, is he going to be 1A, 1B? And Brian Kelly was like, yeah, that's pretty much 1 and 1A. And so he's not worried about who's going to start. Clearly, by the way, he answered the question. It's like, it doesn't matter to him. It's who he said, whoever has the hot hand, you know, that's what it's going to go with. But
and that's what we've heard a few years ago. So we're definitely going back to running back by committee, because I don't think anyone really deserves to get a majority of the carries. I thought Dexter Williams was going to be that guy, but I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, okay, here's how I see the run. Tony Jones, well, let's just say that Tony Jones last spring was the Brandon Wimbush of the spring before.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Brandon Wimbush was hyped up as having the best arm on the team when Kaiser and Zaire were there. You know, Wimbush had a better arm. Well, we'll kind of see how that's turned out. Then Tony Jones Jr., we heard how he could be the starting running back, but they want to redshirt him. Well, whatever, he might have played hurt last year. I mean, he wasn't full 100%. But basically what I see from Tony Jones, he will get you those short yards.
But nothing more.
But he's not going to get you those 20-yard runs.
The reports were coming out of practice that he was a guy that was breaking tackles and
I know.
And getting hit and then getting a few more yards.
Yeah, I know.
And I haven't seen that consistently.
Well, with Dexter Williams, you can see what he, I mean, he broke off a long run. Yeah, he got run down by Troy Pride, but Troy Pride
is a sprinter.
Is going to run down a lot of people. He runs track. And so it would have been fun to see him against Josh Adams. But anyways, Dexter Williams, that wasn't because Dexter Williams was slow. That's because Troy Pride is very fast.
Yeah.
And so I think Dexter Williams, he just looks like he's got that burst. Tony Jones is going to come in there. He's going to get you those yards. But they need both of them, basically. They have two different backs, and they need both of them. Jafar Armstrong is a good addition. It'll be interesting to see how much they're used.
And Randall, here's something else that we disagree on. I think it's clear with the way the coaches were talking throughout this spring and by the blue and gold game that Avery Davis is going to touch the ball. And maybe I believe that even more so because of there doesn't seem to be just a primary back that's going to get 75% of the carries. It doesn't seem that's going to be the case. So I do think Avery Davis is going to contribute this year, and not from the quarterback position. I mean, maybe they'll have a trick play where he throws the ball, but he's not going to be a quarterback.
Here's where he's okay. So the question is he going to be? Is he still going to be listed as a quarterback, or is he switching position? Brian Kelly said he is the third. He's the third string quarterback.
Yeah, because they don't have.
So I don't know how they're going to list him, but he is the quarterback. Which
I'm telling you right now.
That he won't be listed as a quarterback.
No.
Here's where I wanted to think that he's going to be used a lot because he's been doing good things. But we heard this back when Kaiser and Zaire were both here. And even in the spring game, they ran that trick play where they were both there.
No, but it's not going to be like that.
But what I'm saying is
He's not. I'm telling you, he's not a quarterback like you have two quarterbacks on the field.
I know. But it comes down to this. Where are you going to get the plays to do that?
Who
are you going to take away plays from?
Dexter Williams and Tony Jones Jr.
But he's not a true running back.
He's not. When
Avery Davis comes in, teams are going to know that there's something coming up. This is going to be a trick play or something. No. He's not your
Randall. Procise took a ton of jet sweeps.
Yeah, that's your Jafar Armstrong.
Well, then you got one A and one B.
I think I'd rather have Jafar Armstrong can run the ball better than Avery Davis.
Avery Davis is not going to break a lot of tackles. He needs space to maneuver. So running between the tackles, I don't think is going to be.
And Avery Davis mentioned after how he needs to bulk up upper body, get some strength upper body to handle the abuse. And I'm just, once you start looking at it and looking at where his plays are going to come from, it's hard to see. Imagine him seeing much playing time. You look at all the talented receivers you have.
Three
running backs plus Jafar Armstrong.
Okay, three running backs who haven't proven that they can be counted on consistently.
If there's an injury, he will play.
Well, there always is.
But it's not going to be. Right now, it looks like he's going to get 10 snaps a game.
No. I think he'll probably get 4 touches per game.
So how many plays is he going to have to be in there?
Well, probably about 4. Because if he's in there,
well, and everybody knows every time he's in there, he's going to touch the ball.
I'm joking. Yeah, probably about 10 snaps. 10, 12 snaps and probably 3 or 4 touches.
I'm not going that high. He's going to come in every once in a while, but we're not going to know much about Avery Davis. We're not going to see him much.
All right, well, we definitely disagree on this one.
I'm not saying he's a bad player or anything. I just think there's enough playmakers that they don't need to use him for that. He's not that much better. He's not a better running back than the guys you have. He's not a better receiver than the guys you have. He can do all those things, but that's where I'm at. I like what he can do. It's fun to watch.
I think he's very different than Tony Jones and Dexter Williams. I mean, unless he is able to bulk up and be able to take that.
They might try some things just to make teams think about him. But I'm just not convinced that he's going to get a lot of playing time.
All right, we'll see.
But the running backs, I mean, you got guys there that can contribute. It's not – hopefully Dexter Williams can stay healthy and learn to block. But it sounds like Brian Kelly, I mean, he's been saying he's doing that. Autry Denson even talked about it. He's putting in the work. That's why he lost some weight, is just because he's been working so hard to do what he needs. It's his contract year. And so I think you got those two guys. You got Jafar Armstrong. I mean, you got Jameer Smith, and then you got Jafar Armstrong. And, you know, even the running back by committee, it often ends up being – one or two guys. I mean, last year you saw McIntosh come in and like mop up, but it was basically
last year
Tony Jones and Josh Adams
were in there. Were the backups. Yeah. But barely. That last year was very different than 3 years ago when it was pretty much, it was split up pretty evenly between two guys.
But they did, I guess the nice thing is the offensive line created some gaps to run to, like the Jafar Armstrong touchdown. I mean, he didn't get touched.
Yeah.
That was a lot on the blocking and stuff, too, because basically any of those running backs could have run that in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
So with the quarterback.
Yeah, quarterbacks. Is the quarterback situation any clearer?
Do you feel better about Brandon Wimbush? Because did you see what you needed to see? You said, well, this would tell you.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
If he could make the short passes, he did. He was consistent in passing screen passes out to the flat. I mean, he looked different. But I'm still holding a little bit of trust in my own hands before I give it to Brandon Wimbush, because I still need to see it in a game, because
he wasn't getting
sacked. I've heard about how great he was in practice a year ago, 2 years ago. And so until it happens during the game when he can get hit, then I'll hold off on it. But yes, it felt good to see him make those passes. And
it was passes that he wasn't making last year.
In the games.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. It's clear to me that Ian Book cannot be a championship caliber starting quarterback. His lack of arm strength, and even physically, he's a good athlete, but he's not a good enough athlete to make up for his lack of arm strength. And I think he's a solid quarterback. I mean, I think he's a very good backup. And Brian Kelly disagrees and thinks they can win with him. I don't.
Well, that's what a lot of people. But not to knock Ian Book, but the North Carolina game, if that would have been against a better team, they would not have won. I mean, he had multiple interceptions. That was just because they were playing North Carolina. And then, you know, he played good against LSU, was throwing the ball, but it's not, you're going to lose a lot more games than what, you're not going to win.
And Brian Kelly,
you're not a playoff team with him at quarterback.
To me, Brian Kelly ended the illusion of the quarterback competition when he said that, made some kind of comment about, well, you saw Brandon went out with the ones and Ian went out with the twos, so basically we have 1A and 1B.
Yeah, and he said it's trending towards Brandon Wimbush.
I think he just said trending that way.
Yeah.
So he called it needs to be. Whatever you want, but Brennan's going to be the
Book
starter.
Is a great backup.
Yes.
Can come in if he needs to. But to have him, here's the other thing. Teams were not ready for Ian Book last year. They don't have, we've seen that.
They don't know what all his strengths are, what his weaknesses are. And I'm not,
Tommy Reese did the same thing. Came in and won four straight in tough environments. And Tim Tebow came into the NFL, won how many games the first year, and then everybody shut him down. Colin Kaepernick, the same thing. And so that is going to work against Ian Book because teams didn't necessarily game plan for him. And now that they know what he can do, it's you need to have – if you want to be a playoff team, Brandon Wimbush needs to be the number one guy next year. And he was making throws. If he continues to improve like he has since the end of last season – making those throws, his footwork's better. You know, he's doing what he needs. I mean, obviously, and the big thing, he knew he wasn't going to get hit, and he wasn't supposed to run. Brian Kelly said that he was going to blow the whistle if Brian Wimbush tried to run, which he did a couple times, but it's just scrambling. But he wasn't supposed to run. So, you know, it'll definitely be different in a game-time situation. The thing that I didn't like was Brian Kelly was like, he wants to see if they can, if they have to throw the ball 50 times, if they can do it. I don't want to hear that.
Hopefully he's just giving Notre Dame's opponents this upcoming year something to think about so they don't think that Notre Dame's going to be a heavy, heavy running offense.
Yeah. But they're improving. They're getting better at the court. Brandon Wimbush is getting better. And I think he showed us that he's making progress.
All right. Was there anything else to discuss from? We didn't talk about a lot of the defensive backs, the safeties, anything there?
Well, just on offense, tight ends, Alize Mack made some catches that weren't easy, so he didn't drop them. So it looks like he's better. Maybe it's the red visor. Maybe if he sees things in red, he can catch the ball better. And then the young tight ends caught some passes. And it was over the middle, too. I mean, it was good to see them being used like that. And Alize Mack making those catches. I mean, the tight ends and receivers helped Brandon Wimbush on Saturday as well. And then offensive line, that's a little concerning. Robert Hainsey got pulled and right before half, and Aaron Banks went in because it was his second or third false start. And they had a couple of more false starts in the offensive line. I think the biggest thing is they need to find the lineup, stick with it, and have those guys work together, which is going to help with that. But.
And either way, we were talking about the offensive line recruiting. Like, Quinn is doing a good job keeping that going. Even if Harry Heathstand would be coaching this year, the offensive line was going to take a step back.
Yeah.
So
we're holding them to a very high standard.
There's no way to know for about 2 years, I think, how good of a quality coach Jeff Quinn can put together. I mean, what kind of a line he can put together. I think it'll take 2 years to really judge him fairly.
We were talking before the game that it almost sounded like the players like Quinn better as a coach. The players that weren't the starters, I think.
Yeah.
The starters were fine, but it sounds like if you weren't a starter, you almost didn't have a chance to get into that rotation.
Yeah, we've heard that. I've heard that from other
people. But the guys like Quinn.
Yeah.
And he was getting after the guy. He's not, you know, Heastan was always yelling whatever, but Quinn was getting after the offensive line. He was yelling at them a couple times on Saturday, Hainsey when he came off the field. But that was another sign when the five guys, Hainsey, Kramer, Bars, Mustafa, and Eichenberg, they were sitting together as the offensive line, and Brandon Wimbush was joining them. What was there with the talking with Quinn? That's another sign that those are your starting guys.
Mm-hmm.
Which should mention, Alex Bars was the fourth captain, and Brian Kelly said it was completely up to the players. He didn't have anything to do with this. And
you can see it meant a lot.
Supposedly,
he
had close to 70% of the teams, and Alex Bars had wanted this. He's been talking about how he wanted to be a captain. Well, he got it, and now it's his time to step up and lead the team. So, and like I said, he's got to play good. I don't like a captain that is not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody knows how I feel about that. But you need to have a guy that's,
and, I mean,
that's doing such a good job, he can help the other guys.
And he will. I mean, he's been a starter for a few years now. He's going to be a guy that definitely can be relied on, like Mustafer, who, as a sophomore, you know, was making multiple mistakes, but now as a senior is just a superb player and can help those younger guys along.
Yeah.
I did think it was great to see how many former Notre Dame players were at the Blue and Gold game.
Oh, yeah.
Saw a bunch of them. And using the Jumbotron to do interviews, it's so cool. And some promos, too, on the Jumbotron. I thought that Notre Dame did a really good job with that, getting people pumped up. And I think it's a good sign of things to come. I think he'll just continue to get better.
There was more news. There wasn't as many old. It seemed last year everything was about the history of Notre Dame. Everything that was played on the Jumbotron was either replay of the game or history of Notre Dame.
And
that's all great, but I'd rather get everyone hyped up for the game.
It was definitely hyped. It was clips from last year from the bowl game. Had Rockne's famous speech in there, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun experience, and I'm looking forward to being there this fall.
Just some other things on the defensive side. We talked about the defensive line. Linebacker, Brian Kelly mentioned that's the one position that they need to figure out, the second unit. Obviously, they have the starters. Azmir Bilal looked good on Saturday, and then obviously Drew Tranquil.
He'll always
going
look
off
good.
About how much Flutie was talking about him. Luckily, I didn't have to listen to all Flutie's stuff. and then Tavon Coney. But then Brian Kelly mentioned that the linebacker position, that's where they needed to figure out who the backups are. Jonathan Jones was out there quite a bit, looked pretty good. And Jenmark Heath kind of seems like the second team buck behind Tranquil. Then you had some other guys playing the role position, but they got to get that figured out. That's the one area that Branko is a little concerned about. But he said he feels good about the safeties and the cornerback. And a little bit on both of those.
The safeties, I mean, everyone feels good about the...
It doesn't take much to feel better than what... how it was last
year. I said safeties. I meant cornerbacks. Like, everyone feels good about the cornerbacks, right? You've got Julian Love. Then you've got...
He broke up another pass.
You've got like three or four other guys that you feel really good about.
Troy Pride looked really good. And running down Dexter, there's... Right there, he adds a lot of speed to that secondary. Sean Crawford, I was a little bit... I wonder if his size... he struggled to take... Which he was playing Claypool.
Randall.
Miles Boykin.
Randall. Must I point out?
I know. I know.
Defensive back size does not matter.
I know, but he was getting manhandled a couple times out there, and he just hasn't been. Which I think he wore down last at the beginning of the year. It seemed like each game he was there, he was making plays, but we haven't seen that again. And Saturday, maybe he just needs to sharpen up. What I'm saying with a guy that has smaller like that needs to be on top of everything else. And I don't know. I mean, he's... I thought he was going to be... I kind of figured he'd be one of the starting cornerbacks. And I don't think he will at this point.
No. I think he'll be playing...
That's kind of where I'm at. I expect him to be a starting cornerback, and he's not. It looks like Love and Pride are the starting cornerbacks. And now you got to figure out where you're going to... Crawford going to be the nickel, but then there's talk of Coleman, which...
Well, he's not going to be the starter at nickel if it puts him up against a big tight end.
Well, that's
But he'll find plays. He'll be on the field, but...
But he hasn't made the big plays since the beginning of last season.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of injuries, so...
Yeah, but those were all before last season.
Yeah. But you got guys there. They got good depth.
I thought Vaughn looked really good. I think he had two pass breakups.
Yeah.
I think it was credited with two. I don't think he touched the
line. I'm going to feel good if Crawford comes in and plays. But I just don't think he's not one of the starters right now.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Pride is looking to be one of the starters. I thought it would be Nick Watkins is kind of who I thought would end up.
Well, Brian Kelly's mentioned, I guess we can say he was right. He's kind of taking that next step. and figuring out where he needs to be. And last year he wasn't always there, was in the wrong position. But then safety, Aloy Gilman, it was nice to see his aggressive play. Forced a fumble, and then Tony Jones Jr., we talk about him being a big back and the bruiser. He threw him to the ground.
I think I mentioned this on the forums. I do think that it's not going to take long for Gilman to be a fan favorite.
Well, it's how he plays. He's so aggressive, and when he makes a play, it's a big play. And I think I agree. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, and it's fun to watch. When you got a guy like that, it's fun to watch. Jalen Elliott intercepted another pass, which he did in last year's spring game as well. So that was the first pass that the safeties intercepted since last year's spring game.
Too bad it doesn't matter.
He should have had another one. He dropped one. But I thought he looked good. And it's going to help as well. You know, it's almost like you don't want, because of how bad the safeties were last year, you don't want him in there just because you want a new face. But having Gilman there beside him, having a good player beside him, is going to help his game as well. It takes some of the pressure off of him. So I think they look good. Houston Griffith was in there, some of the young guys. And so it finally seems like we have a rotation or has some options at safety. And everybody's still waiting for Derek Allen to get here. But everybody was talking about Brian Wimbush arm before he was a quarterback or Tony Jones. So I'm not putting that in. I have to see it. I have to see him competing before I would say that he's going to get playing time next year.
So. All right. I don't have anything more to discuss. Did you have anything else you wanted to hit on?
Are you worried about field goal kicking?
No. There were a few misses on Saturday, but Brian Kelly, regardless, Ewan has been very, very good during the season. We've seen him have some struggles here and there.
The beginning of the year.
But he always ends up being very consistent. I'm not worried. Brian Kelly said they'd only practice outdoors, I think, twice before Saturday. And he's got the whole summer. No, I'm not concerned.
I don't know. It's Ian Book was the holder. I almost wish they would have somebody else. Just because, which maybe that's a sign that, you know, Brian Wimbush is the quarterback. But I'd almost rather have somebody else be doing that instead of having Ian Book out there, or, you know.
Because you're worried he might get hurt?
No, Ian Book has to focus on being quarterback. And why not have somebody that
technically has to focus on being the backup quarterback?
Well, yeah. No. But I'm saying, like, why not have a guy that all he can, he's not in competition for a quarterback. He's not the backup. Have a guy out there that can focus on holding.
But Brian Kelly's done that.
I didn't hear what Ewan said. That one he missed, he was motioning something. So I don't know if it was the hold or what it was. But it was good to have Gummy Van Gorder as a holder. He wasn't going to play in the game, but he could focus on being the holder, and he did a good job of it.
I don't think it's
it's not that big a deal.
That it worries me.
Yeah. What about the return? I was kind of hoping to see somebody else besides Chris Fink out there.
Yeah, I was hoping to see someone back there. I mean, even if they weren't going, even if it was all going to be fair catches.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust his decision making when it comes to fielding punts.
Yeah.
So
I just don't feel it. You kind of know what you're going to get with Chris Fink.
Yeah.
And it's not breaking off a touchdown.
Well, and too often it's fair catching when there's space to run, or not fair catching as you're being, you know, tackled, which is not good.
Attendance was 31,729, so up from the 20. It wasn't in the 20s, so it wasn't sold out. But Tony tried to call me down and say, you know, it's a national team. You go to Nebraska, it's all local, so everybody can be there at the. But there was people there. I talked to people beforehand that were from Pennsylvania, Ohio. There were people out. I have to throw this Ohio story out there. The guy I was talking to actually went to Ohio State. It was a student there. And his wife was saying that he cannot stand the university because basically he was down to his last semester. And he said they pulled his financial aid and gave it to a football player.
So he was
and
on
he had two more.
He was on a scholarship or something.
I don't know. This is just what they told me. He had financial aid, and they pulled it to give it to a football player, and they finally, the two of them, caused enough of an uproar. She said she went in and talked with whoever was in charge of that and said, hey, this isn't right. He had two more classes to do. And they did end up giving it to him, but it did not sit well with them. And they
it kind of makes me wish switched
from Ohio State fans even going to the school to being Notre Dame fans.
I mean, I kind of respect Ohio State for having that much of a focus on football. No, I'm joking.
That would never happen at Notre Dame. No, let's put it that way.
I do think that's wrong.
So, I don't know. That was their story. And so,
yes, it was. It was only one side of the story.
Something else. The draft is the end of this week. So, Notre Dame's hopefully two guys in the first round. Some people are. We'll have to wait and see how EQ where he ends up. I'm not convinced. There's a lot of hype around there. He's not going to be a first rounder.
I haven't looked at the wide receiver group that much, but Tony said that he thinks he's going to be one of the first wide receivers taken, first or second. I'm sorry.
That would be a gamble.
I don't see that happening.
And then, the shirt. We didn't really talk about the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you like it?
No, I didn't like it.
What? Just?
I just didn't think it looked that nice. It looked like a shirt from a few years ago.
Yeah. Here's okay.
One thing that annoys me is when there's too much on it. I like simple designs, clean and modern. And I just thought there was too much on it.
I agree with you there. One thing I do like, I love the color. And I think that they should keep that color every year. And just change the design on it. Because then, if you don't like this shirt, you can buy the one next year. And it's same color, you can wear it to the game, and we can get that much closer to having something of a green out at Notre Dame, or actually have a fan base that looks like it's united versus...
Instead of several shades of green and a blue and a gold one here and there sprinkled throughout.
That's not gold.
That's mustard or diarrhea.
That's puke brown. Anyways,
I agree.
I think the color. I love the color, and I wish they would keep it every year.
I like a different. I don't like this green as much as the darker green.
I completely agree.
Keep it the same color of shirt, and just change the shirt, but keep the same color so that we can at least look like a fan base.
You would have that much more green in the stands. It would just look great. Anyways, and then one last thing I had. Kona Schwenke passed away yesterday on Sunday. There aren't a lot of details on what that was. I mean, from what I've seen, it sounds like they found him unresponsive. But sad news. I mean, he's only 25. And a lot of the guys that played with him loved being with him. And even the guys that are Notre Dame now, talked about how he, took an interest in them when they were at Notre Dame. And, sad news. Don't really know what happened. He was still playing football for that league. I forget the name of it, but Johnny Manziel is playing in it because I believe on the April 8th is what it was. He had a sack on Johnny Manziel. So he was just recently playing football. It's kind of weird. There's no news on what really happened, but 25 is way too young. Lose a guy like that. So prayers out to his family. And maybe we'll find out what the story is behind that in the next couple weeks.
All right. We will be watching the NFL draft coming up this week, and then we'll be talking about that on Monday. And until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.